Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, first of all, happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Happy Family Day weekend. And if we think back to Friday, happy Chinese New Year. So we've got lots of things to celebrate this weekend. Our passage for today is Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such that no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of Christ. Did you know that most people have had at least one encounter with the supernatural? I've had a couple of friends being in cars and they were almost in accidents, and a couple of them actually saw angels coming and pushing the other car out of the way. But you know what the funny part is? We might have all experienced one of these in our lives. And yet, if they ask people, most of them say they're not quite sure that they want another encounter like that. Surprising, isn't it? Because I sort of think, man, if I could see God in the flesh like the disciples did, wow, that would totally change my life. Well, we are in the part of our liturgical year that is called Epiphany. We jokingly call it the aha season, but it's really the season of showing, of a display of God's power that we have never seen before, a light that shines in the darkness. And yet this is the last Sunday after Epiphany. So we are headed into another complete season that's coming up. And I love this quote from preacher Fleming Rutledge. I have used it before, so please forgive me. Here's what she says. "You may not have realized that today, this Sunday, is the major turning point in the church's year. Today, the transfigured Christ turns his blazing face toward disfigurement and certain death by his enemies in Jerusalem. This week, the church turns away from the light of Epiphany into the shadows of Lent." Some of us have felt like we were already in Lent throughout this last year of the pandemic. But this story gives us hope that in the shadows of Lent, in the shadows of a pandemic, we can still see the shining face of Jesus Christ. It's funny because Jesus tells the disciples that have gone with him, James and John and Peter, his special closest disciples, not to tell anybody about this. He says, don't tell a soul until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Now, they were good Jewish boys, so they would have thought, well, he's telling us to keep this secret till the end of time, because that was the Jewish belief, that resurrection was going to come at the end time. Little did they know that about a month from this particular day, they would see the resurrected Christ again. So I do wonder how it got recorded. Don't tell anybody, he says. And as Barbara Brown Taylor tells us, once we have a special encounter, be it with God, be it with a special friend, and we start sharing it and we make it public, people start pawing over it. I have learned this to my chagrin over and over. I have something really, really special that happens to me. Maybe it's a spiritual thing between me and God, and I share it with somebody, and they start analyzing it, and they start saying, are you sure it really happened? And suddenly something that I knew was from God is cheapened somehow in the process. So Jesus here says, don't share this yet. And really, a lot of people think that this story is made up, because how could something like this have ever happened? But if you were going to make up such an amazing story, would you really make yourself, as Peter does, look so stupid? You know, he's just overcome with emotion. And he says, oh, yeah, let's build a hut. You can all stay there. We'll keep this moment. He's going to become the head of the church. I'm sure if this story really didn't happen this way, he would have said, well, let's, you know, leave out that part because I look kind of dumb there. But I'm sure that this did happen. And I'm sure Peter was that dumb at the time. He likes to talk from the top of his head. But Jesus is saying that they're not going to have to wait till the end of time to record this. They don't know what he means when he says rising from the dead, but he does, and we do. So this is getting us to a place where we can look at a different realm. This is a true mountaintop experience. We talk about mountaintop experiences where we get some great insight that we've never had before. Well, this is the ultimate one. These disciples, Peter, James, and John, are seeing what has been hidden since Jesus was a baby, the true face of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, co-heir with God, part of the triune God. This is what Jesus is like when there's no filters, when there's nothing that's keeping him or keeping us from seeing who he truly is. And I love the fact that he is meeting with two guys that are also associated with mountaintop experiences. Moses, who received the law from God on Mount Sinai, the epitome of the great lawgiver, that's Moses, and Elisha, who did his many miracles on the mountaintop. And in fact, both of them died on top of a mountain. And he's representing all the great prophets. Maybe Jesus knew that what was going to face him in Jerusalem was going to be so horrific. Maybe he needed a special meeting with these two prophets and lawgivers that would give him strength. He was saying, I'm here to complete the work that you had started, to complete all prophecy and to complete the giving of the law. Maybe he knew that these three disciples, who were his closest disciples, were going to need this too when they came down the mountain and eventually headed to Jerusalem and the crucifixion. Peter was going to become the head of these group of disciples. Maybe he was going to need this special manifestation. John was going to be given the task of taking care of Jesus' mother right at the crucifixion. The only one that would stay of the disciples that would stay and watch it up close and personal. And James, we're told in the book of Acts, that Herod Agrippa killed him so early on in the church's history. Maybe they needed this special manifestation to go through what they would be going through very soon. But as with all manifestations, those special miracles, those special times when God meets us in a wonderful way, they do come to an end. And so we come down the mountain with the disciples and we find that everything is still ordinary. We're back to everyday living. Mountaintop experiences end, retreats that we've been on finish, and we find ourselves in Lent. Maybe some of us think, oh, we got through the whole of Epiphany and we didn't have any special happenings in our life. Don't despair. The Lord of Epiphanies can meet us whatever season that we're in. Those of us who haven't glimpsed the fullness of the Lord's glory may still do so. The Lord is going to show us his glory as we enter Lent, as we go that long journey with Jesus toward the cross. We are going to see the forgiving spirit of Jesus on the cross. We are going to see the compassionate spirit of Jesus as he forgives his disciples for deserting him. We're going to see that wonderful, only God can give forgiveness as Jesus forgives his enemies from the cross. And we're going to see the power of Jesus Christ shining through in the resurrection as he comes back to earth to meet with his disciples again. And in our reading from Corinthians today, we find that it's not only Jesus that is going to be shining with the glory of God. It is us too. Here's what St. Paul says to us. For it is the God that says, let light shine out of darkness. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? As we follow Jesus through the end of Epiphany and into Lent, whatever that's going to hold in our lives, we, because of our belief in the living Christ, are going to be able to shine too with that light that is the glorious face of Jesus Christ that the disciples got to glimpse at in this transfiguration or transformation of Jesus Christ. That same light, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can shine through our lives and show to the world that this beautiful Savior is still shining forth in the world, filled with compassion, filled with grace, and filled with forgiveness for all of us every day in Lent or in Epiphany. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Proclamation, the podcast that features the sermons of the Reverend Shelley McVie of St. Saviour's Church.